Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's pause together in silence, dropping into this moment, this only moment that there is. If you'd like, allowing your eyes to close. And bringing attention to your feeling within of willingness. And if you don't feel a sense of willingness, maybe saying to yourself, I'm willing. I'm willing to turn to spirit within. I'm willing to see differently. And imagining that we're offering our collective willingness to Holy Spirit for our willingness to be used on behalf of our awakening, on behalf of the awakening of all, as we come to remember the love that we never lost. The love that's already here right now. In this holy instant, we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. So taking a nice, deep breath in and out with the love in your hearts and light in your mind. Coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all righty. So, as I mentioned before we started recording, we only read three paragraphs last week, so we're going to reread those, and then we'll dive into the fourth paragraph. Whatever edition of the book it is that you have, go to chapter 17, the very, very beginning of chapter 17. That's where we're going to start. Just a reminder for folks who have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, sometimes, because I'm reading from the Sparkle edition, which is very similar to the original edition, sometimes the paragraph breaks might be a little bit different, so I might stop when it seems like I'm stopping mid-paragraph for FAP folks, if you have that book. But I'm at the end of the paragraph in my edition, and sometimes the wording might be a little different. So just hang in there, and it'll sync up again. And if it gets to be too different, which I don't think it will, but you can always just kick back and listen as I read. So here we go. So I'm just going to read the first four paragraphs of Chapter 17. Forgiveness and healing. In FIP, it's called Forgiveness in the Holy Relationship. The betrayal of the Son of God lies only in illusions, and all his sins are but his own imagining. His reality is forever sinless. He need not be forgiven, but awakened. In his dreams, he has betrayed himself, his brothers, and his God. Yet what is done in dreams has not been really done. It is impossible to convince the dreamer that this is so, for dreams are what they are because of their illusion of reality. Only in waking is the full release from them, for only then does it become perfectly apparent that they had no effect on reality at all and did not change it. Fantasies change reality. That is their purpose. They cannot do so in reality, but they can do so in the mind that would have reality different. It is, then, only your wish to change reality that is fearful, because by your wish you think you have accomplished what you wish. This strange position, in a sense, acknowledges your power. Yet by distorting it and devoting it to quote-unquote evil, it also makes it unreal. You cannot be faithful to two masters who ask of you conflicting things. What you use in fantasy, you deny to truth. Yet what you give to truth to use for you is safe from fantasy. In the Sparkle Edition, there's another subheading. It's fantasy and distorted perception. When you maintain that there must be order of difficulty in miracles, all you mean is that there are some things you would withhold from truth. You believe that truth cannot deal with them only because you would keep them from truth. Very simply, your lack of faith in the power that heals all pain arises from your wish to retain some aspects of reality for fantasy. If you but realize what this must do to your appreciation of the whole, what you reserve unto yourself, you take away from him who would release you. Unless you give it back, it is inevitable that your perspective on reality be warped and uncorrected. As long as you would have it so, so long will the illusion of order of difficulties in miracles remain with you. For you have established this order in reality by giving some of it to some teacher, to one teacher, excuse me, and some to another. And so you learn to deal with part of truth in one way, and in another way, the other part. To fragment truth is to destroy it by rendering it meaningless. Order of reality, orders of reality, is a perspective without understanding, a frame of reference for reality to which it cannot really be compared at all. And we will pause there. So I'll just begin by sharing that this most recent paragraph that we just read, this fourth one, it really stands out to me how it's saying that the illusion of order of difficulties in miracles has been established by giving some of reality to one teacher and some to another. So in other words, there's that split. There's the two voices in the mind of the Holy Spirit's voice for truth or for love, however you want to say it, and the ego's voice, which is nothing but falsity, which is nothing but lies. And so as long as we deal with part of truth in one way, giving you know, our experience, part of our experience we're okay with giving to Holy Spirit, let's say. There's some things that we have no problem giving over to Spirit. But then there's other things that we're like, I need to do this myself, right? I need to fix this myself. And so healing then doesn't show up consistently because we don't have both of our feet in Holy Spirit's camp. We're divided. And so, you know, we seem to have reason that it seems like Holy Spirit isn't there or, you know, nothing's happening, but it's because from the get-go, we're the one that is divided. We don't have enough trust as of yet to place both of our feet in the Holy Spirit's camp. So I think that's all I'll say about that. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions that have come up for you in this paragraph that we just read or any of it, actually, that we just read? Or any insights or examples?
I'm curious about the word fantasy.
Well, on the broadest level, this whole world's a fantasy. The whole world is a dream apart from God. On this level of form, you know, think about just when we get lost in daydreaming, when we get lost in fantasies about thinking that, you know, we wish things would be different than they are, and we're not present to the moment. So, you know, we're not being with our reality as we have established it here. So that's what comes to mind for me is on the broadest level, you know, the whole world's a big fantasy. It's a dream. And it's a fantasy that we prefer, which is a fantasy of separation, right? It's a fantasy that we get to play the game of separation and be these separate personalities and forget that we are all connected.
Yeah, that sums it up right there. That's it.
Great.
Nope, I got it.
Thank you, Paula.
That was perfect.
Good stuff. Anybody else? Thoughts or questions or insights, examples? How about we keep reading? Think you that you can bring truth to fantasy and learn what truth means from the perspective of illusions? Truth has no meaning in illusion. The frame of reference for its meaning must be itself. When you try to bring truth to illusions, you are trying to make illusions real and keep them by justifying your belief in them. But to give illusions to truth is to enable truth to teach that the illusions are unreal and thus enable you to escape from them. Reserve not one idea aside from truth, or you establish orders of reality which must imprison you. There is no order in reality because everything there is true. Beautiful. So this is a big one where it says, hold on, let me find it. When you try to bring truth to illusions, you are trying to make illusions real. Versus that next sentence where it says, but to give illusions to truth is to enable truth to teach that the illusions are unreal. So the course isn't about making a happy world. That's not, you know, the outcome isn't to have a perfect life here. Yes, the picture, we are happy learners, and things, in my experience, do smooth out, and there's a ease about life when we repurpose everything to give it to Holy Spirit instead. But the course, that's a stepping stone. That's still not the ultimate reality. The course is about, you know, like it says, bringing illusions to truth. So withholding nothing in our own minds, giving them to Holy Spirit for them to be reinterpreted to give us, at this point, glimpses of reality. Ultimately, as our trust builds in Holy Spirit, we're not afraid anymore of God. We become, you know, less and less afraid as our trust builds in Holy Spirit. And so we then, you know, ultimately are willing to give it all to truth. Thoughts? Anything coming up for anyone? I heard a breath. Was that a thought? A thought brewing?
Well, I guess I have something. I don't know. I feel weird bringing it up, but like 2 weeks ago, I learned that, you know, I had to make a presentation, right? It's the same presentation I've done like 5 times. And, you know, this whole thing of perception, like somehow I, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit for help with it. I really am. But I guess I'm searching for something tangible, but I know we don't always get that answer back. But I'm in fear. I'm stuck on this thing that I have to make the same presentation over and over, and people are questioning me. And, you know, part of it is nerves, but stuck in that thought over and over again. And the only thing, it's hysterical, the only thing that breaks it is if, like, someone speaks to me or I have to do something physical, you know? But the whole thing with perception and getting off base, and I think it's the ego that drives that. It's trying to upset me, I think. With this illusion of it's oh so terrible, when in reality I could do the thing in my sleep, you know? So that, for me, the perception thing, absolutely distorted, way distorted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, number one, it's a great thing to recognize it, right? To be able to say, like, I know I'm not seeing this truly. Like, I know I'm not seeing this correctly because I'm feeling a lack of peace. And so what is, can I ask, Brian, and you don't have to share if you don't want to, but just what the thought is that you get hooked on? Like, is there a specific thought that goes through your mind?
Yeah, it's failure. It's
okay.
You know, something I've worked on for months, and I'm a little bit out on the limb, and I'm kind of using some research to back it up, and it's a little bit of risk-taking, but that's encouraged. I mean, that's a given, but it's that ego-driven, distorted perception. It's pushing me, like, saying, you're going to fail. You're not going to do it. You know, and there's senior people that are going to question me. So, you know, it's like, it's crazy. But it's all based on incorrect perception. Because I know I got it down. There's no question. But it creates that doubt, you know, that fearful doubt. Like, what if I mess up? You know, and meanwhile, here I am stuck in this repetitive thought thing. It's got to be ego. It's all driven by the ego.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's because it you know, again, we talk about the ego as if it has power. It has no power over us, only our belief in it. But we have to be where we're at. We've made this, you know, this level form very real, excuse me, for ourselves. And so we have to be where we are at. So the it absolutely is ego-driven because, and that's okay, and that's beautiful to recognize it because, again, it's that repurposing. So can you, when you catch that thought, what if I mess up, can you practice saying, you know, Holy Spirit, here it is again. You know, I'm willing to look at this with you. I am serious. Like, I'm willing to give you this whole presentation. I know I have this, but here's this voice showing up again. I'm willing to see this differently because I'm listening to it, and I don't want to listen to it anymore. You know, I don't want to give that thought because that thought could just be a passing thought, right? But it's that we take it seriously, just like how in the Course it says, when we had that tiny mad idea of separation, we remembered not to laugh. So it was like we chose not to laugh at it. We chose to take it seriously.
Yes.
Here's a perfect, you know, little example of how we do this all the time, where we have these crazy thoughts, whether it's about a presentation or something else. It could be an anxiety thought, you know, the thoughts that used to go through my head were like, oh, this, you know, whatever sensation must mean something terrible. We choose to take them seriously. So if we can, it's beautiful, Brian, that you're noticing it, because then the next step is to say, Holy Spirit, you know, here's that chatterbox ego going at it again. Like, I'm willing to see this differently. Like, help, you know, come on. And I'll share with you from my experience. I used to have over-the-top public speaking anxiety. When I was in college, I remember giving one of my very first talks, and literally my knees were clanking, like they were just like knocking, because I was terrified and like sweating and just, you know, gulping for air as I'm trying to get the words out. And the way that I dealt with that anxiety for a long time was to over-prepare and to get, you know, really, really prepared, know everything that I was going to cover, try to anticipate, this was cause for craziness, trying to anticipate questions that might get asked and how would I answer them.
Yep.
Like, I over-prepared like crazy, and it was exhausting, but it was part of my process, so I just went with it. I didn't feel guilty of it, about it at all. And what's happened is that as I've engaged with this work in letting, in being willing, again, to turn to Holy Spirit in all circumstances, remember even just what we read, that it's not about keeping some things for ourselves, like I have to do this presentation by myself. The Holy Spirit is going to do that presentation with you. It's there. It's there with you while you're doing your presentation. You're not alone. And as our trust builds, we start to be able to rest in that. The Hangout, the Google Hangout that I did with Craig yesterday. it already feels like a while ago. I didn't prepare a thing. And that, to me, before we began, I said to him, I was like, Craig, I just have to acknowledge, this is really funny. In the past, a year or two ago, I would have, like, had this outline and had examples and been, like, you know, so prepared. And I just instead now have enough trust that the words are going to be there, that I can just, you know, show up. I can just rest and trust that the words will be there. But to hear those words come, what also I needed practice with was, again, not listening to that fearful voice like you're talking about. So the anxiety, you know, when my anxiety would spike, it would be really hard for me to hear the words come. It would be really hard for me to trust that process that the words would be there, because I would then get caught in my head. So doing some deep breathing before, you know, the presentation, do it like you said, you know, getting out, maybe doing a couple laps, like you said, physical activity helps. Doing what you know works for you to help to break that pattern, because even if you go for a walk with the Holy Spirit, again, even if it seems like we might be problem solving ourselves, if we're offering whatever we're doing to Holy Spirit, and it can be an afterthought, you know, we don't even have to remember at the time, Spirit uses that then. It repurposes whatever it is, you know, that we might be problem solving, that we might be trying to fix, and again, we'll use that also on behalf of our awakening. So remember that you're not alone. You're not alone. You got this. You said it. You said that you got this, and you're not alone when you do this. And for me too, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't know if this is helpful, and if this is not helpful, please just toss it to the side. But for me, looking at the fear, like the worst case scenario fear, smack in the face, so if it's like a fear of failure or a fear of like looking foolish in front of others or whatever, or not having the answer, whatever it may be, really, like, is that really going to be the end of the world, you know? And remembering, too, that it's also perfectly acceptable to say, you know, that's a great question. Let me get back to you on that. Perfect. I'll follow up with an email or something, you know, something like that. So these are just some thoughts that are coming up for me, because I know the public speaking anxiety really, really well.
That's perfect. Thank you so much.
I want to
The only other note is that the world of work, and I don't want to digress too much, but the world of work, you know, it's young. It's young and full of spirit.
Uh-huh.
You know, the work world, it's changing every day. And those of us that are getting older, I mean, you still have to come up with good ideas. You have to be alert. You have to be aware. That is a real challenge. It's an ongoing, and that's another mental battle with the ego. When you see somebody young, who's very achievement oriented. It's tough. But that was great.
Right.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, of course. And just even that, seeing somebody young, like, there's judgment there, right? That, like, they are something that you're not, like, or maybe they have something more desirable, or maybe they're looked at in a way that you think they're looked at better than you would be looked at. What is that? But that's another just form of ego judgment. And so, again, not keeping that to yourself either, offering that thought to Holy Spirit and asking to see it differently too. Because you have experience and knowledge and wisdom, you know, having gotten you to the point that you're at, and that is very valuable in the workplace. So
amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for sharing. I wanted a practical example. That was a perfect practical example.
It's like torture, that ego guy. I really want to meet this Holy Spirit. I do.
Thank you all for having that dialogue. That was wonderful. That's all I'm going to say. I needed to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, Brian used the word senior people. And this the course is about equality.
Mm.
There are no senior people.
Right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
amazing.
That's all about intimidation. It's bunk.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's the communication strategy where the senior people, they don't say anything. They don't tell you anything. You know, you have to guess.
No, we are equal, all of us.
Amazing.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Mm. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It sure is.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up, Brian. That was really helpful.
Oh, boy. Thanks for your answer. You're really fun.
Man.
Yes.
It's Maurice. I have a question that I think would go with this portion of this chapter. But if it doesn't, then maybe we can just email about it. But I went to see my friend who passed away in October. I went to see her mother, who moved to another town about 30 minutes away from me. And this is the second time I've been to see her. And today she was particularly, bitter and sad and you know, I won't go into it. But anyway, of course, it's something that I have dealt with. Fortunately, I was in a really good space today. But I just had to constantly keep giving that situation to the Holy Spirit because I didn't really know what to say to her because she's not in the course. And she won't go to church. I offer her some suggestions. Do you think this applies, I guess, because what I'm asking is, do I need to forgive her for what she has not done or me for what I have not done in this situation? Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's all relevant, whether it's seeming, you know, to exactly correspond. It's always, always relevant. So thank you for bringing it up. I also, Carol, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I know that I feel like you've shared things before about some of your clients that you work with. And so if you have anything to add, I'm not putting you on the spot, but feel free to chime in. So,
well, do you mind if I say something, Corinne?
Please, go for it.
Because there's a whole lot going on for me as I'm listening, and I've got to be very, very honest with you. At the beginning of this reading, I completely didn't hear everything you read. The only thing I heard was the last paragraph, because my husband just got a call that his sister was taken into the hospital by ambulance. And
oh,
I'm like,
wow.
You know, God, you know, Holy Spirit, how much more? My mom was diagnosed with cancer and is, I don't know how much longer, you know. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, help. That's all I keep saying is, Holy Spirit, help. And, you know, I know all this ego, and I know the illusion, and it just feels, like you said, you are where you are. And I love that. I just love that. Because for whatever reason, I mean, my husband and I know the Course. We know, you know, spirituality. We know all this stuff. And I've got to be honest, I've been talking to my sister about Holy Spirit and about, you know, I mean, I don't know, because it hasn't been me that's been saying it, and I know that. And I feel very comfortable with a lot of this. I think there's something that goes on with the stress of the world. It just, you know, it's like I've been sensing, well, I know Paula and I, you know, the law of attraction. And yesterday in church, I felt like everybody was frightened. And I'm like, no, you're frightened, Carol, and that's why you're noticing it. You know, it's like you're attracting that energy, seeing it everywhere. And yet, I don't know that I'm making sense. I'm, you know, but it feels crazy. It just feels like the energy is off the wall right now. And, you know, when Paula said, I have to laugh because she said something about fantasy, I'm like, yeah, this is a fantasy. I mean, it is. It's crazy. When you get, I'm saying when I get close to this insanity and I start thinking it's real, it's, you know, I know in my mind it's not real. I do know that, and I don't know. I'm just rambling. You know, as far as
you're
my
making
clients,
total. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, actually, I'm having a lot of fun with my clients because the one woman has dementia, and we just have the best time together. We just talk about the same thing all the time. And, you know, it's a lot of fun because, you know, it's sort of like childlike. And that brings joy, you know, and it's just looking at the trees, looking at the buds, looking at, you know, I get to talk about my kids all the time. I tell them, I said, oh, yeah, I get to brag about you every day.
You know, Corinne, could I add something to that?
Of course.
The only difference, the reason I know there is really no difference, but the reason I ask this question is because this is not a person that I am spreading hate on, you know, like I've been going through lately. This is a woman that I really care about, and I go see her because I know she's lonely and she misses her daughter, and so that's what I mean by asking that question. I don't have any negative feelings about her. And so I don't know if her negative stuff that's coming up is just stuff that is from my past and probably my recent past. I just don't know how to help her on the level of form. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I just have something to say, Corinne, because something comes up for me is I don't know that you need to help her. You know, it's one of the things I've learned is that so often I think I need to do something, and I don't.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when you walk away from those situations, you know, really being able to just detach and observe your thoughts and not letting that energy overtake you. You know, and just letting it be exactly as it is. Whatever you're thinking, transpired, it's just really just leaving it behind.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, take it.
Yeah.
It's yours.
And
I
did. Yeah,
it's like
I did.
An energy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank
Paula,
you.
Thank you, Maurice. Thank you, Carol, just for sharing all that. You know, it really, I'm glad, Carol, you said what you said about, you know, that you don't know that you do have to help her on the level of form. Mm-hmm. It is always, you know, whatever it is that seems to be coming up, it's always about taking it to spirit. We want to do more because we think we need to. You know, that's where the Course says the ego gets insulted that we're asked to do so little. But rather than even, you know, trying to figure out, well, is her negativity, you know, a reflection of my negativity? It's always, you know, whatever we're ever seeing out there is always a reflection of what's coming from within. Without exception, that's what the Course is teaching us. But it's not for us to worry about exactly how that's going to get fixed. It's up to us to again turn to Holy Spirit. So my process is to say, I love that saying, you spot it, you got it. So if you see it out there, you know, it must be coming from my own mind. I don't know how, I have no idea, but you know, I'm willing, and here you go, Holy Spirit. And if that even feels like too much of a leap, that's okay. It's always just that, like Carol was saying before, Holy Spirit, help. You know, speak to me. Tell me. I don't know. I don't know what to do. And it sounds like, you know, you want to help her. You want to, you know, do what you can. And the best thing that you can do to help is by accepting the atonement for yourself, allowing the undoing of fear in your own mind. And that always involves giving everything to Holy Spirit. So I know I'm not giving you a direct answer. I know I'm not giving you a answer, but that is the answer. The Holy Spirit is always the answer, you know, going to the Holy Spirit. And the thing, too, Now, this relates, going back to what Carol was saying, just about the intensity of the external circumstances. When the shit is really hitting the fan and stuff is really, really, really kicking up, one of the things that's been really helpful for me lately has been thinking of this top down. Does God know this? Does God know an ambulance? Does God know sickness? Does God know, you know, a negative mood? Does God know any of that? No.
Yeah.
God absolutely does not. I'm a child of God. They're a child of God. Whatever it is that the body's eyes are reporting is false. So we're being asked to apply what the Course calls true denial. So not the ego's denial, that we're just denying something that's happening, but true denial in that we're denying that the picture is the truth. We're instead, again, going to that place of God does not know this sickness, and so it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible because God doesn't know it. It does not exist in God. That's been really helpful for me lately, to think about that sort of, you know, top-down approach of, would God be thinking this? You know, would God be looking at it this way? Absolutely not. God is unchanged despite this crazy dream that we're having. And so I offer that just as a thought to use, to ask yourself sincerely, you know, does God know this? No, absolutely not.
No.
I'm a child of God. They're a child of God. And God does not know suffering in any form, and so it must be that my body's eyes are picking up something that's not really there. And that's what you asked about, you know, am I forgiving them for something that didn't happen? Am I forgiving us for something that didn't happen? It all didn't happen. It's all forgiving to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's such a heady thing, you know, to try to wrap our heads around, forgiving something that's not there. So if that does sound like heady to anybody, you know, don't let it get you lost in thinking. Just keep turning to the Holy Spirit.
Well, no, I appreciate everything that was said, because I think I was asking the question from ego, and I think, you know, sometimes I don't know it until I just go ahead and say it out loud, because that is what I did. I listened to the Google Hangout again on my way, so I really enjoyed it again, the one you did last night. And then on the way home, I just kept giving all of that to the Holy Spirit. So, but thank you. I'm glad to have myself, you know, put back on the track.
Well, but also just affirming that you're doing the right thing. You know, you are never off the track. You just needed maybe some affirming that you're doing the right thing.
Asking the question, I think I kind of zipped into a little, you know, okay, what can I do on the left, you know. But I really, I needed that. I thank you all for everything you said.
Thank you.
I think there's also this idea when you're with somebody who's suffering or with, you know, in these, how can I, you know, you feel guilty for feeling okay or feeling good or,
you know,
there's that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I'm not being compassionate enough. And, and then beating up on yourself for all of that. God's will for us is happiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you said
that. God's will for us is happiness.
Yeah. That's so important, Paula.
You know, I mean, the world really goes nuts on this.
Mm-hmm,
how dare you be happy? How dare you feel good when all of this is happening to these people?
Mm-hmm.
It's all nuts.
It's so totally
upside down.
It is. And to join in suffering, what is that going to do? That strengthens the suffering. That doesn't mean that if we're upset that we hide it or that we don't. We have to feel our feelings. We have to be honest and authentic with where we are. And if we're suffering, get it out. You know, let yourself be where you're at. But if you're also in a place, you know, the Course talks about how whoever is more in their right mind, and so if you happen to be more in your right mind in a situation and can have enough sturdiness, enough groundedness to not join in the suffering, to Instead, again, even going to that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. Just having that, you know, that moment of turning back to that if we're, you know, able to do so. But we have to be where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, Oh, I'm sorry. Carol, go on.
Yeah, I just want to say that it's very, very calming to hear all this and very affirming. Yesterday, you know, I wanted to pick something up at the store, and I made a conscious decision to ride my bike to the store. And it was so funny. I don't know how many people have seen The Wizard of Oz, but I felt like the witch on the bicycle, you know. And I was really, really riding fast, you know. It was a lot of fun. It was really fun. And it was a great outlet for me. And today my husband and I went down to the library to see some of Paula's work. And it was was a lot of fun. I mean, there was all this beautiful artwork, and they had a wine reception. And, you know, it was just a retreat kind of thing, a nice respite to be able to do something like that in the midst of a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm. And that's,
you know,
I think that's what you really need to do. You know, whatever can shift that energy, that negative energy.
Absolutely. So this has just been such a treat. I really appreciate this because as I'm listening to you, Corinne, and everybody else, I'm just feeling this calmness and this, as Paula was saying, you know, the shift of the energy. So thank you.
The best way that I can help, and we can all help the situation, Carol, that you're in, Maurice, everybody on the call, we all have our situations, right? The best way that we can help each other is to pause and to think, does God know anything other than absolute peace, absolute joy? No. And so if we can hold for each other the fact that we are holy children of God, like you said, Paula, before, God's will for us is perfect happiness. If it's any form of suffering, God does not know it, and so it can't be the truth. The body's eyes have to be just reporting something. That's a false image. That's the best way we can help each other is by planting our feet firmly in that knowing. That's how we truly help one another. So thank you all for joining with one another, with all of us, to hold that space for each other. Deidre, I feel like you've gone to share something a couple times. Do you have something?
Well, I just feel called, like I feel like Spirit is calling me to mention something to Maurice, is it?
Correct.
Maurice, yeah, okay. I just, when I was listening to you talk at the beginning, you were talking about going to see this woman because she misses her daughter and she's lonely. And I just feel like Spirit is calling me to just bring your attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you don't have to do something out of a sense of feeling something needs to be fixed or that there's guilt underneath.
Oh, I don't have any guilt about it.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
It feels like Spirit is mentioning, like bringing to my attention anyway, that there's a release that is being called from soul energy. That really the daughter hasn't gone anywhere. So
right.
Like I know I'm talking esoteric here, like in form the body, the she's left the body, but she's with Spirit now. Spirit, like, is what we really are, right? So
right.
Just the whole idea of that you're going to make something better, or that you're going in honor of the daughter, or something like that, or whatever it is for you. I don't want to put words in your mouth. It's just something that I feel called to sort of mention to you, that you might want to sit with spirit and be like, why do I feel like I need to do this, or show me what's coming up that is a belief in my mind. And as I'm saying this to you, I'm saying it to me, because we're all connected. Like, what is the belief that is coming up for me that I feel I need to? That's all I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate that, but I don't have, I'm not going to fix anything. I'm going because I care about this woman, period, you know? And she doesn't understand that her daughter's still here. I've tried to explain that to her, you know, very gently. She doesn't really believe that. She's almost 85 years old. And, you know, I can't make her believe something that I know is real. But
yeah.
I go because I love her, and I just want to see her. You know, she had to move away from her hometown, and I just really care a lot about her. And when we're having a good time, boy, we can really laugh up a hoop, you know. So, you know, we do have a lot of fun. I just felt sad for her. However briefly, I just felt, because I was in a great space, and I pretty much stayed in a good space. But it was just something that came up to me on my way home. You know, is there anything else other than what I did that I could have done, or anyway, so I'll stop talking.
Thank you, Maurice, and thank you, Deidre. Maurice, in case you didn't know, Deidre is very, very intuitive, so when she brings things up, we're always like, ooh, you know what, we like to listen, so
I didn't mean to suggest that you had to make anyone believe anything. That's not where I was coming from at all. So just to clarify that. So
say that again. I didn't understand you.
I just wanted to clarify that what I was bringing forward was not, I wasn't suggesting in any way, shape, or form that you needed to convince anybody to believe anything. That's not where I was coming from at all. So you mentioned that the woman doesn't believe that her daughter's still here, and I wasn't suggesting that you needed to convince anybody of anything. It was more,
I know,
something just coming up. So I just wanted to clarify
yeah.
that.
No, I didn't feel like you were saying that, but I just, you know, that I'm going because I want to go and be with her. It's kind of,
right.
I guess, what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, just give it to spirit and see what comes up if you feel like exploring it is all.
And if I can just re-highlight, Deidre, what you said, I tell me if I'm getting this wrong, but just being willing to look at what's coming up surrounding going there. Looking at your own beliefs surrounding, you know, going there. So and that's
okay.
all. Looking
okay.
at that with spirit. Did I get that right, Deidre?
Exactly. Perfect. Thank
okay.
Hey, family.
All right. Hey, Carla.
Hey. Yeah, you caught me in the background.
Hi.
I tell you, the gentleman who spoke about this public speaking, oh, my God. I was doing a class with Deidre. One of the assignments she said was this. Figure out where I'm playing small. And I knew immediately. I didn't even have to meditate. And one of the areas is public speaking. I hate it. I detest it. I'd rather be in the audience. I don't want to have to prepare, just like you just said about over-preparing. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to over-prepare. I don't want to have stress myself out. It seems like it's like a waste of time. It's like I don't necessarily have to do it. And so whenever I'm, I guess, because of the career that I'm in, and when people find out. And recently someone was speaking to at a community college. We were talking, and she found out what I did, and she's like, oh, I need someone to come and do blah, 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 and we're having this kind of workshop. And I was thinking to myself, I'm not coming over here doing public speaking.
You know, hell no, I'm not going.
Yeah, let me see if I could refer somebody else, but I don't want to do it. It's right up there with interviewing. I'd rather do the interview, you know, because I'm not standing in front of a whole lot of people. I just don't like it. And it's funny because I'm good in conversation. I could sit in a group on a couch. We could be 15 people, and I could be just jaw-jacking away and be fine. But as soon as I stand up and talk about something, I'm like, I really don't want to do it. And, of course, I know it's fear, you know. And then the other thing I recognized was about playing small in relationships, having the fear. Fear is associated with the thinking, the fear thoughts, the illusionary thinking that I have surrounding relationships. So at least I was able to recognize them. Like I said, it didn't take me long, you know, because I already knew what was going on for me. But I have to listen to the recording again to hear the advice that you gave the gentleman regarding the public speaking and such. But I appreciate y'all being here and letting me just drop it like it's hot. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. I adore you.
I saw live your interview with Craig yesterday. I sent you an email.
Oh, yeah, I know. I meant to write you back. Thank you so much for your kind words. It made me smile. You got a big smile across my face. Thank you so much.
I hope she got it. Okay, cool.
I did. I get email overwhelmed sometimes. I didn't respond right away, but I will. So thank you so much. Oh, wow. Let's actually read the last paragraph, or the next paragraph, because it's the last paragraph in this section. And then we can at least say we read three paragraphs again. All righty. Three new paragraphs, I should say. Be willing, then, to give all you have held outside the truth to him who knows the truth and in whom all is brought to truth. Be not concerned with anything except your willingness to have this be accomplished. He will accomplish it, not you. In Sparkle, it's capital N, capital O, capital T, not you. He will accomplish it, not you. But forget not this. When you become disturbed and lose your peace of mind because another is attempting to solve his problems through fantasy, you are refusing to forgive yourself for just the same attempt. And you are holding both of you away from truth and from salvation. As you forgive him, you restore to truth what was denied by both of you. And you will see forgiveness where you have given it.
Boy, if that doesn't sum it up.
Right?
Holy smokes. I feel like
back to what Maurice initially asked about, am I forgiving myself, am I forgiving, you know, for them, this is so, so super clear that if, mm-hmm. you know, we're becoming stressed or disturbed by another dealing with anything, you know, however it is that they're responding, if you're reacting to their situation with stress or disturbance, you're refusing to forgive yourself for just the same attempt, and you're holding both of you away from truth. So as you forgive the other, which is, and also, you know, yourself, again, it's really one and the same. You restore to truth what was denied by both of you. That's where the healing that you do in your own mind isn't just benefiting you. It's benefiting everybody. So, yeah, beautiful.
God, Corinne, that's amazing.
Isn't it great?
That paragraph is really amazing. And I love the part, he will accomplish it, not
yes.
you. He will give the presentation,
yep.
not you. Whatever
you know,
it is.
I have to share something I have to share something really funny really fast. I had somebody who was reading my book, and this is not a Course person. They have no really, you know, very little knowledge or experience with A Course in Miracles, and their reaction was that they felt very subtly that the book was kind of disempowering because I kept emphasizing, we can't do this ourselves. We need spirit within. And just like this sentence says, he will accomplish it, not you. And I was like, it is disempowering to the ego. And so if you're, you know, if you enjoy, you know, this autonomy, you know, of being separate, this game, and again, we all enjoy it. It's just some of us are more aware than others, you know, kind of like what's going on here. It totally is disempowering to the ego, and that's joyous news. Because
can I say one thing?
Sure.
Can I add one thing? And who is he? He is you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's the you with a capital Y, not the small self you. So he, remembering that the Holy Spirit is nothing more than your right mind. So your right mind will accomplish it, not the small self. Beautiful. Thank you for that, Meg.
Boy, it's a lot of
Yay.
Energy. A lot of energy on this call, eh?
Oh, my God.
Right?
Oh, God.
This is like the 4th of July.
It really is. I mean,
we're celebrating our independence from the ego. Fourth of July reference.
Woohoo! I gotcha. That's great.
And can I just say one last thing? Is and that'll be it? This is Angela.
Angela.
Hi. I have to say, Corinne, thank you so much for sharing the videos of Peace Pilgrim. I couldn't sleep, and I got up in the middle of the night, and I watched, and then I watched the rest of it. But she, the spark in her is like, it's amazing, and there's more I could say about it, but I'm amazed to see, you know, that all the little pieces, it all comes together. It's like a thread, and it all comes
mm-hmm.
together, and we're
mm-hmm.
all along that thread.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Goosebumps. You got it, Angela. That's beautiful. And I'm so glad. If anybody hasn't watched those Peace Pilgrim videos, right now they're the most recent blog post on my website. Peace Pilgrim is an amazing, inspiring example of living these principles. And she wasn't even a course. She was doing this work before A Course in Miracles even came to be. So it's her story is just so inspiring and so helpful. So thank you for sharing that, Angela.
You're welcome.
All right, big group hug.
Corinne, don't leave me. I need you for 2 minutes.
I won't.
Okay.
I'll stop recording
Good
the
night.
Call. So thanks, everybody,
Good night.
So
thanks,
much
everyone.
For
Thank
great
you.
Night.
Love you, everyone.
Bye, family.
Love you all. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.